following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Get incredible savings at Lowe's with our pre-Black Friday sale. Start by taking 15% off all DeWalt cordless combo kits and miter saws. And while you're there, pick up a 100-count mini Christmas light set for only $1.99. It's the Lowe's pre-Black Friday sale. So hurry into Lowe's for these and other great values every day. Lowe's never stop improving. Offer valid November 14th through the 21st. Does not apply to special order or clearance items. Discount taken at time of purchase. While supplies last, see store for details.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas can only take you so far. While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate can go a little farther. When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate. Go a little farther.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the Sooners to the Tigers to the Buffaloes next door, we'll fight them all with honor, stand tall above the rest. The Huskers of Nebraska are the ones that we love best. See that line of blockade, watch those backs move out. Heading for the goal line and a touchdown, there's no doubt. Fast as a mighty jet plane, smooth as a brand new car. Every player with the big red is a football superstar.
That was a joke.
Can you feel it?
Day by day, we get better and better, so you can't be beat. We won't be beat. I said now day by day, we get better and better, and so we won't be beat. We can't be beat.
Empty backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds. Over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Sorrell. 45. 40. Lance Sorrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Sorrell. Brett's kick sailing towards the uprights, and the kick is good. And Maher drills one from 51 yards out.
This is a 29-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Nebraska. In what would be a miraculous comeback in the final 40 seconds. Brown for the win. The kick is up. And it's good. He got it. Nebraska wins it.
28-26 is our score. Kickoff into the end zone will be brought out by Abdullah. Abdullah, a little bit of shake and bake. With room.
Third down and 20. Quinn, good protection. Pass to the sidelines. Good. Out of bounds at the 25. Todd Brown made the catch, and Quinn hit him right on the numbers.
Fake the handoff. Back to throws. Martinez looking downfield. Has a man out there. Pass caught. Touchdown. Quincy and Unwa. And the Huskers back to it in a score.
Big down. Third and a long five. Getting to the end zone, and very close to it was Dean Steinkohler. He's in for a touchdown.
Stretch play to Bell, trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him at the 10. What a play by Will Compton.
Backfield in the eye, wide outs both ways. And here is a fake. Druckenmiller on the keeper, loses the football. It's picked up by the Huskers, and they're going to run it in. Jason Peter for the score.
Snap back to Taylor. Fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Guns, pass, caught. Cotton, 15, 10. Bam to the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's down at the 1-yard line. Ben Cotton.
And the pitch to Warner. Gets it up about the 29. Jimmy Williams comes up with a football, and Nebraska got it. Jimmy Williams came out of the stack with a football.
Back to throw is Cousins, holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up, ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there, so was Ciante Evans.
We are ready to settle the Big 12 football championship deep in the heart of Texas. Major Applewhite back in the pocket. Eludes one. Husker is in trouble, and down he goes. Warren Kaiser was there.
And the Cornhuskers will go for two. They trail 17-15. Full house backfield. Frazier will throw. It's good. Two-point conversion. Eric Alford made the catch.
Game tied at 17. Fumble picked up on the bounce by Keithen. And now down for Mitchell. Double team. And Mitchell got it. How did he get that one?
Tater in the shotgun. Burkhead off to his right. Snap back to Tater. Holds it. Looks. Throws. Pass. Caught. Kenny Bell. Dive. Touchdown.
Sal Jones, the lone setback from the 47 of CU. Frazier takes the snap. Gives it on a counter play. Jones runs behind a blocker. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 15. He's gone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown.
How about the biggest comeback in school history?
Option far side, back to throw is Martinez. Now being chased, throws it out, a flat. Burkhead makes a catch, sets a tackle, 25-20, 15-10, 5, Rex Burkhead, touchdown Nebraska, and the Huskers are to within a point.
Holy moly, man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle.
Fourth down and 8, the ball at the 24-yard line of Miami, but they're down by 7.
Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap. On 2nd and 10, Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25-20, 15-10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards.
Option play, the pitch to Irving Fryer around the right side. Irving Fryer could be gone. Irving Fryer, touchdown.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Football Friday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday, getting ready for the final Nebraska home game of the season. UNK and Hastings finished up their seasons last week, and that's what we talk about on this show, football a little bit on Friday. Matt Limegrover, the offensive coordinator of Minnesota, has graciously agreed to join us on the program today, and they're pretty banged up on the O-line, so we're going to hear what he has to say about that, what their projection is, what they're going to do tomorrow. They've got the true freshman quarterback. Now, it's not the first game of the true freshman quarterback. This will be his fifth start, but still pretty banged up. And a team that, as we've said on the show a few times, has scored 13 points in each one of their losses, and we'll make our predictions at the end of the show with Pigskin Pick'em. But Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you back here on this Friday. And as we were talking about before the show, not a whole lot of Fridays together here. Had a little time with state volleyball. Next week we'll have a college football and the Husker game going on. A couple of weeks we'll hopefully be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game with Nebraska playing Wisconsin if they can take care of business. But Jimmy, let me throw this out to you. It's different on the high school level and the collegiate level. But the last home game, you honor your seniors. There's some other things going on, although I think at the high school level, of the four home games, there's like three things that go on. You got parents' night, you got homecoming, and then you got senior night. So that takes care of three of your four games. But when you get ready for that last week of practice or that last home game, especially if it might be the last game of the year, what are the different things that that you go through as a coach, and what will they be expecting? What do you expect in Lincoln this weekend?
Well, you know, at the high school level, I mean, when you're talking about the ADs, usually what happened, you forgot about everything and you had to all get it in at one day. You're going, oh, here we go. You know, we got to get all this stuff in. And it's cold and it's miserable weather and people are standing out there. And you know what? When the parents leave and they get out on the field, there's not a whole lot of people in the stands. You know, and you know, University of Nebraska, there's going to be 80,000 people there cheering. It'll be interesting. You know, I was thinking about this. Taylor Martinez is not a senior, but you know, he's been just going up and down. His stock goes up and down depending on how Nebraska does. And I think his stock's really high right now. And even though he's not a senior, if he was announced, you know, it'd be a different format right now for him as the crowd would go wild. I just hope his senior year is really good, so he gets what he's well deserved, because he's done a tremendous amount for this program. And we got Burkhead, you know, who's going to be coming out here and getting to play. And I hope, you know, it'll be the response for him. But you know, this seniors, it's going to be good because we've won 3 and 4 consecutive games. I know when Sue had played his last game, it was a really special moment there.
Well, it was that Colorado. It was Colorado, baby.
What, was it Kansas State or was it Colorado? Kansas State.
Was it Kansas State?
I think maybe we won 17-3, but yeah, I could be wrong. But I think Kansas State was the last game, a night game. And it was like that 17-3 game, but it was really loud. And, you know, they only gave up 3 points. You know, so yeah.
Colorado would have been his junior year, I think.
Yeah, I think you're
with
right.
with the 57-yard field goal and the and then he had the interception.
You're right. Yeah, well, yeah, he had a what a game that I mean that almost got him the Heisman Trophy for the next year. You know that one game.
And one of those things, just kind of a reminder, folks. That game's at 2:30 tomorrow, but you probably want to be in your seat by 2 o'clock. Don't be the late arriver tomorrow. And again, I think a lot of people are going to try and get in there early because they're going to honor Tom Osborne. Then they introduce the seniors in a special early before the kickoff tunnel walk type of deal. So you want to get there early. There'll be a lot of ovations. One of those times where you know it's going to be pretty electric because it may not be electric later on when the actual football game starts. At least we hope as Nebraska fans that it's not down to the wire and in doubt going into the fourth quarter this time.
You know, I agree with you. There was a that used to play Colorado the last game, so that was the seniors, and that game usually had national implications. And how about the Oklahoma game, which was the last game? Same thing. You know, so the game, you know, took over where maybe, you know, tomorrow with the seniors being their last game and they're playing a Minnesota team, it'd be a huge upset if Minnesota won the game. I'll tell you, you know what the trap game is, of course. That's Iowa. You know, that's the trap game. It's not Minnesota at home. I know you don't think Iowa's very good, but I'll tell you what, it is a complete trap game. That's exactly what that is when you go on the road and play a team that's just, you know, right next to you.
And not playing very well. So that's next Friday. Today we talk about Minnesota. All that and a whole lot more today on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you'd like to join us, email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. At ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We were talking a little bit earlier in the week about the basketball season getting started. We had our first collegiate doubleheader Tuesday night with some good games. Last night, just keeping real busy, and I didn't get to see the first half of, but there's a lot of basketball again on yesterday, Purdue and Villanova. And I don't know how many people out there watch that basketball game, but you know, it just I think Purdue got jobbed in this basketball game. They were ahead, and Villanova scored 7 points. 7 points without Purdue getting to go across half court. Now think about that. And it tied the ball game.
What happened there? What did happen?
Well, first Villanova comes down, they drain a three, cut it to four. Purdue gets it in, they get trapped on the baseline. Or on the sideline in front of the Villanova bench. And, of course, their coach is going crazy. They got him trapped. He's saying he stepped out of bounds. Well, the Purdue kid, the guard, he's trying to clear out. And he brings the arm around. And, I mean, for those that are Villanova fans, oh, man, he jacked him with his elbow and knocked him to the ground. And for Purdue fans, it looked more like an Academy Award performance. But so then that's an offensive foul. So then we take 5 minutes to go at the monitor and decide. I guess collegiate basketball now has the flagrant one and two like the pros do.
Yeah, anything above
a joke.
Well, it's anything above the neck, they do look at to make sure somebody didn't intentionally throw an elbow or something. But you might be wrong. It's too bad you got to go 5 minutes to the monitor. I agree. Yeah.
But they get four free throws on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out how all this comes. And it took forever. And it's for all these folks, I guess, part of this in me is saying, oh, we need to have instant replay for everything. That took forever last night. And if you didn't watch it, this is one of those things that if you watch it, you know what I'm talking about, and either you agree or disagree, and I'm guessing probably 80% of the folks out there had no idea this game was even on last night. I didn't. It was just on towards the end of the evening, and it was, like I said, on in the background, and then all of a sudden I finished up. It's a good game, so I'm watching the end of it. It's got some scoring in it. But be careful what you wish for with this replay, because if it took that long to determine whether this kid got hit in the chin with an elbow or not, I watched it one time, and I can tell you yes or no.
Right. I'd like to have seen that. Hey, what about Nebraska? Valparaiso. You know, what a big win there. That's a huge win. They were up about 11 and just hung on, though.
Yeah, they looked terrible down the stretch, Jimmy. They looked like they were trying to hang on to win, and I think that's what's going to happen with this basketball team, and they play UNO on Sunday, but they were up 14. In a game where you only score 50 points, and they were up 14, but I'd have to double-check on this. They scored 2 points, and they were both last-minute free throws. Scored 2 points in the last 5 minutes of the ball game. It was like 46-37, and then they scored. Maybe it was four free throws in the last 5 minutes of the ball game, but they were just hanging on, hanging on. And Valparaiso is supposed to win the Horizon League. They were the preseason selection, so as you said, this is a good win. This is a win over a team that's supposed to do something. Nebraska held them to 34% from the field and hung on to win. They should beat UNO, go to 3-0 on Sunday. But Nebraska fans, not only, Jimmy, is this not going to be a good basketball team, it's going to be a boring, not good basketball team. It's not like they're going to get beat 90-72. They're going to try and die it down like this, which is just
what got
Mo Iba fired for winning.
Yeah, you know what? It's
resigned.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he wants to play like this, but I think you need to give your players an opportunity to win. And when you have less possessions, you know, when you're trying to knock somebody off, I'll bet you he's going to beat somebody. And last year we beat Indiana at home. You know, I mean, we're going to knock somebody off at home. He's going to get some wins playing slow. But you're right. I think when you go on the road, it's really hard to play like that. You know what I mean? And to have some success. So it'll be interesting to see what his strategy is later. I didn't see, like I said, I didn't see the game, but, you know, the only thing I knew is Valparaiso was a 5-point favorite.
I saw most of it. At least a half of it.
Okay.
Here's the dilemma I've always had, and I'm not even sure which side of this I'm on. Are you trying to win, or are you trying to make your players better? Because Jimmy, you can call it defense if you want, but that's not. They're milking the possession, and then they're forcing up shots. Even if they're not even looking to do the cutting until there's 10 seconds on the shot clock and things like that, which forces your hand on a team that's not a good shooter. What do you do? I mean, isn't the point to try and make your team better instead of just trying to hold on to win? And is winning making your team better? I've never really – I can't ever get a handle on that. That's one of those questions to myself that I can't answer. You want to win, and you need to win for your university and to keep your job and yada, 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 but you got to get your team better. And if they're just standing around holding the basketball, you're not getting them better.
Well, if you're playing somebody, okay, try to imagine this. If you're playing somebody that has way more talent than you do, okay, what do you need to do? I mean, you know, what do you need to do to win a basketball game if the other team has a way more talent than you? You've got to limit the possessions. You can't go running up and down the floor. I love to play those people when I had the best team and they kept running the ball. You know, let's go take Ravanna on the last couple of years and let's start running with them. You know what I mean? I mean, if Ravanna's, you know, you just don't have the talent that somebody else does. And when you play them, you do have an opportunity if you do slow down because they don't like that. You know, they want the ball, and they start making mistakes, and they start doing things they shouldn't do, and gives you an opportunity to win. Let's just see how this kind of pans out. All I know is I didn't expect Nebraska to win. I did not expect them to win with the talent we had and what he did last night. One, it's too bad they didn't score 8-10 points towards the end and, you know, made it look a little bit better, maybe a couple dunks at the end, you know. But that didn't happen. But, you know,
they missed some chippies, too.
But I know exactly what you're saying. But, you know, in the NCAA tournament, do you notice how the games are a lot less score? There's less points scored in the NCAA tournament usually. Those games, you know, when people play, they don't play. The possessions are very critical. You know, they're not running up and down and playing 100-100. I mean, those things are 60-60, and they've been in during the year. So, it's an interesting topic. I do understand what you're saying, though, about you're not getting any better if you never shoot the ball ever. Let's just keep passing the ball and passing it. Because in February, you're going to get beat like a yard dog by some people.
Not even Connecticut, Butler would be the team here, but they're not Duke, North Carolina. It's entertaining to watch championship basketball when Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, 72-69. I can handle that, but it's not 52-49.
Right.
Wisconsin, which is tough.
Yeah, Wisconsin played like that, I think. Didn't they have a little success?
Yeah, and how far do they ever get?
Yeah, you know,
they may win some games, right. But how deep do they ever get?
You know,
they get beat by teams that can score.
Yeah, you're probably, you know, and they're also, you're getting beat by who? You're getting beat by a team that's better than you. You know, I mean, usually the better team wins. But, I mean, Wisconsin went to the Sweet 16, you know, and Michigan State's probably been the dominating team, which you say in the Big Ten or
not.
Yeah. You know, and they guess what's going on right now? They invite those four teams to play someplace. You know, they have a tournament, and they got Duke, Kentucky. You know, they invite North Carolina, and they invite Michigan State. They invite UCLA. They don't invite Nebraska.
No.
Wisconsin.
God,
you know,
no.
Yeah, you know, they don't get to play on those things. So, yeah.
And you kind of bring my point back here a little bit. Wisconsin's a perfect example. They continue to win 20, 25 games a season. But have they ever gotten any better? Have they ever went deep in the NCAA tournament? How many Big Ten tournaments and Big Ten regular season championships do they have? Yeah, they can beat 75 to 85% of the teams on their schedule. But is that program getting any better? They're content with scoring 60 points a game and winning those games and losing to the few teams that have shown that they can score and put some points on the board.
You know, Kentucky last year had a very exciting team to watch, scored a ton of points, you know, and all six of those guys, not five, six, are playing in the NBA, you know. And I understand. I don't know. Maybe the recruiting, if you're not recruiting those players and you're trying to recruit them and you're not getting them, but I don't know how bad, you know, it's cold in Wisconsin. I don't know how bad I want to go up there and play college basketball in Wisconsin right now, you know. But, you know, the recruiting is a lot of it, but you know, I guess you got to do what you can coach best and give your kids an opportunity to win. But I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, before we go to break here, Doug Duda, Jim Langan on the Doug and Daddy Show, Matt Limegrover is going to join us, Minnesota offensive coordinator. Jeff has pulled up the running tally from last night's Nebraska game. It was 46-37 Nebraska, and I believe that's what it was midway through the half when I kind of started watching about 9 minutes to go. Brandon Ubell made a jumper with 7:21 to go in the game to make it 48-37. 7:21 to go in the game, and Nebraska scored two free throws the rest of the way. I don't care who's coaching it. I don't care who's playing it. It's been that way for a long time. Nebraska, that was one of Doc's problems. He had teams that would go on 7, 6, 8, 9-minute droughts where they'd score 2 or 4 points. And, yeah, you can hold it all you want, but if you cannot score, you cannot win.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how many points they score against UNO and how many they score against Kansas.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, Big Daddy's Deli is gearing you up for Thanksgiving 1 week away. 6 days, actually, folks. And Carrie just made some cranberry brats and potato sausage. You can get the rings or the links. So, so good. The links are great for the grill. Call and reserve your fresh turkeys and prime rib today. Don't wait till the last second. You want the best, and Troutman's is the best. They'll have smoked turkeys starting Monday right out of the smoker. Plus, Troutman's just got a brand new assortment of domestic and imported wines. And don't forget, we're getting into that holiday season, and you're getting together with your family, your friends, your coworkers. They've got the meat and cheese trays. Those are so good. Thanksgiving, 6 days away. USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef is all they give you at the Troutman's Quality Meats. With their quality steaks aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness, they've also got seafood on hand. So stop by and see them today. Whether you're heading out on the road for the weekend, maybe you're tailgating for the Husker game, maybe you've got family coming in, take them to Troutman's and show them what quality is all about. And get those turkeys and prime ribs reserved today. Carrie and the gang at Troutman's Quality Meats, the grill's best friend.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
NBA versus college is always a great debate this time of the year. There's no debating where you go to grab the seats you want when you want to go to a basketball game. Just head on over to StubHub, where you can find the best basketball tickets for you, whether you prefer the pros or the fresh talent and rivalries of the college court. Even better, you can get rewarded on every eligible purchase when you sign up for StubHub Fan Rewards before you buy. Yet another reason millions of fans use StubHub for their basketball tickets every month.
Do you love to shop online? Did you know you can get a cash rebate of 2 to 20% from your favorite online stores? Just visit ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the rebate banner. You'll discover how to get the lowest possible prices, the best coupons, free shipping offers, and a rebate check on all your purchases. It's easy, it's free, and you can sign up by visiting ESPNSuperstation.com and clicking on the rebate banner.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures top off at 57 for a high. Winds out of the southeast will be developing at 5 to 15 with some higher gusts in the afternoon. We'll then drop off to 34 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy's show, Trent says, if the defense is in your face and won't move, I have had no problem with, quote, clearing space using your elbows to send a message. Well, Trent, that's good if you're playing town team and pickup ball, but no, you can't do that. You cannot. That's called good defense. If you're trapped, you can't be throwing your elbows to get out of there. That was not my point. You have to change things up a little bit. You can't do that. That's the bottom line to what's going on in the basketball, and that wasn't my point. A couple of my points have been off the mark apparently this week.
Well, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, that is something that when somebody's trapped or a rebounder, you know, they kind of give a rebounder a little bit of a movement. You know, if somebody gets a rebound, you got a right to finish that outlet pass. But once you're trapped, you just don't get to start flinging elbows. In fact, there's a penalty for that if you don't even make contact. It's a violation. Yeah. You know, excessively swing the elbows. They don't want you to do that anymore. That's, you know.
No, it's the right call, too. We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Matt Limegrover, the offensive coordinator at Minnesota, here on the program. And at Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, they have five brand-new, redesigned 2013 Buick Enclaves on their lot to choose from. And as always, over 50 Chevy Silverados in stock. Top trucks, you see them everywhere. Why? Because they continue to work on the Chevy Silverado, the best truck out there. They've got Chevy Equinoxes, Chrysler 200s, and over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock. And don't forget, you get that certified 6-month, 6,000-mile comprehensive warranty, 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and roadside assistance with 30-day exchange privilege at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. In Kearney, South 2nd Avenue. I'm overly on that. I know life isn't fair, but in some places it is the opposite. I mean, it's just intentionally rubbing it in your face, not fair. And we didn't bring this up on the show yesterday, and I'm reminded of it because the MIAA has just announced its all-conference volleyball team, which we'll get to in just a second here, as the semifinals are tonight at UNK. I know there's probably a lot of things going on. I know the Kearney Catholic Gold is tonight, and a lot of people are going to go to Lincoln early for the Husker game because there is no Friday night football for the first time for you. But tonight, if you get a chance, there's going to be as good a volleyball at UNK as there's been since regional and Elite Eight tournaments, because three of the top 10 teams in the country will be there. And Washburn will play Central Missouri at 5. UNK will play Emporia State at 7. Emporia pushed the Lopers to 5 sets on UNK's home court earlier this season. But, Jimmy, how does the NCAA or anybody come up with a system where this Loper volleyball team is ranked 2nd in the country? And take away, fans out there, take away Loper volleyball. Put in your favorite team. Nebraska football, the New York Yankees, the Colorado Buffaloes, Iowa Hawkeyes, any sport, Nebraska volleyball. I mean, the state would be going absolutely nuts if the Nebraska volleyball team was ranked number 2 in Division I and didn't get to play any home games in the postseason and was on the border of not even making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, do they take 8 teams? Is that what they take? Do they take 8? Is that
out of each region.
Okay, out of each region.
So there's 64 teams.
Right, exactly.
And a week ago, UNK's on the bubble, ranked 4th in the country, of even getting in.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it's you know, I guess, you know, when you take the human element or the human, do they pick this squad? Is that who's doing that? Do they pick this? Is there a group of like six people on there that kind of pick this group out? Or?
Supposedly there is a committee, and I don't know how you can be on a committee and pick. And the silver lining here is UNK actually, by getting hosed, could end up in a pretty decent position because they don't want to play the number one team in the country until the finals. Right. So it doesn't matter where you're at on the bracket. But UNK is sixth in a region when they're second in the country, and two of the four teams, or two of the teams that are above them, are Central Missouri and Washburn. The Lopers have lost one conference game, so they beat one of them twice, split with the other one, and they're behind both of them. They're the regular season conference champions. How in the world can you be behind these teams? How in the world can you be behind these teams?
Yeah, you know, it. And I am agreeing with you. I mean, maybe the first time I've agreed with you so much, you know, because I think we've kind of had a little difference of opinion on Nebraska and how fast they should be going up and down the floor. But, yeah, this is – I can understand where somebody voting might vote Kansas State number one in football, or they might vote Oregon number one. Now, I would be stretched for a Notre Dame, but after you get 60 people voting, you might have one or two votes for Notre Dame. Just to, you know, yeah. I mean, that's what I expect. But, it's amazing that all of a sudden you get a committee, and they're going to come out here, and they're going to take, like, one of those three teams, and they're going to almost not get in the final eight. You know, those three need to be one, two, three, or at least in the top four. You know, for sure. I mean, it's not, and I can understand if somebody said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to get, you know, in football, let's say, for instance, LSU, hey, I don't have them in my top eight. And so we're all going, hey, that's kind of weird. I mean, they got a pretty good team. How did you not get them in there? But the other three got to be in there, and that's what you're talking about when you're talking about UNK.
When we go to this playoff and Alabama wouldn't make it, say we had the playoff right now, Alabama's ranked fourth, they wouldn't get in, the whole SEC, the South would rise again. There'd be torches and marches and going, what are you people talking about? It is unbelievable to me because the people supposedly on these committees are college, well-educated people that are supposed to have high-ranking spots with their universities, and they're a sham, and it's a shame, and they are a disgrace. And I can't believe these people aren't being called out. Yeah. I cannot believe they're not being called out.
You know, the NCAA basketball, in particularly the women's, the favorites usually do a good job in that tournament. I mean, you know, UConn, you know, I mean, the favorites usually do well. But if they really do a really good job in the NCAA men's, there's a lot of upsets. A 13 will beat a 4. You know, you'll have a Norfolk State that'll knock off a Missouri. But, you know, the next day, when Norfolk State plays and they get beat by 50-something, you're going, well, I guess they were a 15 seed, you know, or a 14 seed. You know, the NCAA men, and I like the way they do that because, you know, if we took a high school and just did it, we'd have a little bit different than the way the NSAA does, because that's just totally on a point system. And if this is totally on a point system, how unfair, because everybody thinks UNK's got a tremendous viability, and they proved it year in year. This isn't somebody that just came in from an NAIA last year and just showed up and started playing in the NCAA.
Doug and Daddy Show, and I know, and Central Missouri and Washburn have to have some fans that are in Kearney today ready for tonight's semifinal. And I'm not trying to bash those two institutions because, my goodness, 24-5, 30-2, they're outstanding. But please tell me how you can defend being ahead of UNK in the regional rankings. The point is to get in. The bottom line is, in this region, you just want to get in because this is the national tournament. The national champion comes out of the central region. There is six teams here that are all capable of winning the national championship in this tournament. But it just astonishes me that can go down the way it is. And again, UNK might get beat tonight, but I'm talking about here, now, the present.
You know, I wonder if the committee's never been to Wayne State to see how hard it is to play a volleyball game at Wayne State in Nebraska. You know, Wayne State, Nebraska, I mean, if you travel there and play, that's a tough place to play. It's also tough to kind of come to UNK. One thing about UNK, look at the attendance they get at these things. You know, UNK attendance compared to some of these other institutions. You know, it's amazing, you know, absolutely amazing. Yeah, you're dead right on this one, Doug. I can't say that, I can't even disagree with you at all. It's amazing that they're that far down.
My head hurts. Here's the deal, and you can't predict this because it's such bunk, but if I was UNK, if you can get by Emporia State tonight, relax tomorrow. You do not want to be 4 or 5. You want to be 3-6-2. 2-3-6. You don't want to be 4 or 5. And yep. If by winning this weekend slides you up to 4, what good does that do? It doesn't do you any good. You're not playing any of the regional games at home. You're on the same semifinal side as the number one team in the country.
I would think the
5-time defending champ.
Yeah, I would think that the winner of this is going to be at least a 2 or 3 seed, no matter who it comes out of it.
I have taken way too much time. The player of the year in the MIAA, not from UNK. Jessica Fay from Washburn. Abby Heiss from Truman is the freshman of the year. Rick Squires is the coach of the year. It's a rarity when the championship team doesn't have the coach of the year. First team selection, Katie Sokolowski, Ariel Krolikowski, and Jenna Rose are all on the first team. There are 8 members on the first team. 2 members are unanimous, Jessica Fay of Washburn and Megan Sharp of Truman. So somewhere out there, they thought that Sokolowski or Krolikowski wasn't, you know, didn't deserve to be in the top 8 players in the league. Second team, UNK, Ellie Pesavento is on that team. Third team, Liz McGowan, who was the National Player of the Week this week. She is on the third team. And honorable mention, Nebraska Kearney didn't get anybody, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 schools had an honorable mention, but UNK did not. But they had well represented there on the first 3 teams. Head still hurts. Coming up, Troutman's Tuesday. Not Troutman's. We already talked about them. Coming up, we got Pigskin Pick'em and some dogs on there, Jimmy. Some dogs on that sheet this week.
Yeah, you know, it was a tough break for us last week. You know, I really felt bad that, you know, that we lost again 2 weeks in a row here.
Well, that's why I'm back on Friday.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. We had a game way late in the night, and I had to stay up way late to watch the results of it. And I don't know who. I can't think. Somebody scored late on me and got a touchdown right at the end. Mississippi or somebody played somebody and had them beat, and they get a 4th down, and it cost – me nothing, and somebody wins $20, and here I am kind of pouting. Well, what's wrong with this? I mean, I'm well over 50 years old, and here I am upset about that.
I believe we have Matt Limegrover ready to join us, and we will do that after this break on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse, much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collection, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-226-8184. That's 800-226-8184. 800-226-8184.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures top off at 57 for a high. Winds out of the southeast will be developing at 5 to 15 with some higher gusts in the afternoon. We'll then drop off to 34 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Right now, ESPN is doing a piece on Bill Snyder. They're high here on the Kansas State Wildcats. God, they just showed him in 88 when he got hired the first time at one of the worst programs in the history of the world. When Kansas State, I remember when they used to make the, they still do make the weekend predictions in the paper, the guy from the Associated Press, and he'll put scores, and like it was going to be Kansas State played, and he predicted a 0-0 tie, and I think it ended up 6-3 in overtime or something crazy like that.
Well, they used to have the bottom 10. They used to rank the bottom 10, and you'd see Northwestern in there. Remember that? TCU. Do you remember that program, TCU? And Kansas State, and it was something with the purple. You know, anybody that wears purple, you know, you're in trouble, or, you know, so yeah, you're right.
Well, our poll question yesterday at ESPNSuperstation.com, which college football coach of the year should win the national coach of the year? 62% went with my selection, Bill Snyder. 22% said Kevin Sumlin of A&M, and a couple of votes in there for Penn State, Bill O'Brien, and Notre Dame, Brian Kelly. Who do you think, Jimmy?
Well, who's the head coach at Oregon State? Who is that? I don't even know who it is. But, you know, they went 3-8, and he would be my second selection. Bill Snyder would be my first selection. And, you know, really, the guy at Notre Dame's had a good year, hasn't he? What I mean, if you think about it. So, but I think Bill Snyder's deserving. And I don't know who, like I said, I don't know who the head coach is at Oregon State. I wish I did, you know.
Riley, ain't it?
Yeah.
Mike Riley, yeah.
Mike, okay, right. And I think he's, I mean, that was a tremendous thing what he did. He turned that thing around. And sometimes that's who gets that award, is somebody that went from, you know, a 2-9 or 2-10 program and turned it around to 10-2, you know.
There's a, every week, I get numerous emails, and I get some cool stuff, and got my Heisman ballot information yesterday, so that was pretty cool. But one of the things you get every week is the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Team of the Week. Well, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Team of the Week is always who pulls off the biggest upset. All the time.
Sure.
All the time. Notre Dame beat Oklahoma. Notre Dame got it. Texas A&M, obviously, was the Team of the Week this week, and you can just go down the line. Our poll question today, who do you think should have won the American League MVP, Mike Trout or Miguel Cabrera? You got a voice on that one?
Yeah, there's no doubt. If you win the Triple Crown, I got to go with the guy that wins the Triple Crown. Hey, you know, if not, let's just give it to a catcher every time, because they're the best defensive player. Well, I mean, how many times do they have to catch that pitch? You know, and I, you know, those catchers, as an umpire, I like those catchers that protect me. You know, I'm gonna, anybody that protects me from a foul ball that almost gets me, you know, I can guarantee you he's getting my MVP award vote. And you know what? When he comes up to bat the next inning, he may get a nice pitch to hit.
Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I agree. Miguel Cabrera. Mike Trout, unfortunately, just had a great season. The wrong season. Last year, next year, that's probably good enough to win it. Buster Posey named the MVP in the National League from San Francisco.
And that was nice because of the injury he had last year. You know, that was really a good deal. I mean, he's a catcher.
There's a variety of cartoons and drawings in the paper and on Facebook and all the social media. And Jeff has pulled one up here that Bill did over at the Independent, comparing last week's, was it a touchdown? Was it not a touchdown? Fumble for Penn State into the end zone. And obviously all Penn State fans think it was a touchdown, and most Nebraska fans aren't sure. So if you aren't sure, the weight is going to say that it probably was a touchdown. To compare this to 30 years ago, you can from a tongue-in-cheek perspective. But the caption here says, I'd say now we're even, wouldn't you? No. No, we're not even. The job we took in 82 at Penn State way outweighs what happened to Penn State if that was a bad call. I mean, we're talking about an inch last week. We're talking about a national championship and 2 feet out of bounds in 1982.
Yeah, the call in 82 is ridiculous. I remember watching that, and unbelievable that they could call that a catch. And then there was a really close play in the end zone, about 8 yards deep. And, you know, I think maybe they got that one right. But it was so close that, you know, you're kind of going, whoa, you know, now after just having the other one, you know, set to you, you know what I mean? And you have to see this one. And then, like you say, the national implications. This one, there's plenty of time. I mean, he's in or out. I think Nebraska, if he'd have scored a touchdown, hey, you know what? Get us the ball back. Let's see what we can do. We'll go down, see what we maybe kick a field goal. Maybe we'll just go out and do some other things. There's a lot of game left to go. But it was too bad for Penn State because the guy didn't do that on a fourth down. I mean, you know, I mean, if he would have got tackled at the six-inch line, you know, they get the ball. But that's the breaks of the game. I think Nebraska fumbled one in the end zone too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
We're just a day away now from Nebraska, Minnesota. Tomorrow on the Big Ten Network and, of course, on the Breeze 94.5 FM. Our coverage begins at 9:30 in the morning, 5 hours of pregame. We'll learn everything that we can about this matchup, but let's find out a little bit ahead of time with the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Golden Gophers and one of the men that has been with Coach Kill, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. This staff may not have been at Minnesota for years, but they've been together for years. And Matt Limegrover joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, thanks so much for the time, and welcome to Lincoln.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I hope it's hospitable, but I don't think it will be. So.
Well, we're starting to learn a little bit more about Emporia State because our Division II, Nebraska Kearney University, just moved into the conference this year. But that's where you guys got your start. Tell us a little bit about the ride that it's been here over the last dozen years.
Oof. Well, I tell you, you know, I joined Coach Kill when he went to Emporia State from Saginaw Valley State up in Michigan, and there are several guys on our staff who are even with him then. And actually, it's kind of hard to believe. I've been with Coach Kill 14 years, and I'm actually fourth on the list longevity-wise. There's there's three coaches who have been with him even longer, and I think that really speaks to the character of the man and the loyalty that he shows to us. It's easy to reciprocate that. And I think through going through this will be our fourth transition together, or we're in the process of it. I think it definitely makes it a little easier because we're always on the same page right away. There isn't a lot of getting to know you or a lot of indecision. We know what we need to do and jump right in, roll our sleeves up and get going. And that's kind of the way Coach Kill is about everything in his life.
We had an instance this year with Coach Pelini not being able to finish a football game on the sidelines, which was rare. Your coaching staff has had to deal, and Coach Kill has obviously had to deal with the health issues, and I think this is always brought up, and you guys maybe just as a staff have been able to handle this because you've been around and know the man so well. When he is off the sideline, how has it helped to have all this time together and this fluidity to the staff so that the team doesn't get flustered?
Well, I think that's a huge aspect of it is I think when Coach had a seizure against New Mexico State last year, I think it was hard for the young men to see that because they had never experienced it. Coach had talked to them about it, but as you know, it's a big difference between hearing about something and actually witnessing it and visualizing and seeing it. And I think the big thing was that on Sunday, Coach was still recovering, and as coaches, we walked in and said, hey, guys, business as usual. And I think that surprised some people, and they thought maybe we were being a little callous or uncaring. But we all knew he was going to be okay, and we all knew that once he got back to 100%, that he was going to be mad at us if we didn't carry on and have a business as usual attitude. So that's the way we've always been. And I think once the kids saw that and they said, okay, you know, we're not going to have, you know, candlelight vigils, or we're not going to suspend everything we're doing and just kind of sit around. And, you know, when they realize, hey, we've got a schedule to keep, we're working, we're doing things, I think that helped them stay in the routine and not think about it as much. And you just carry on. And, you know, Coach says it all the time. He says he has seizures. You know, other people have other things that are impediments, but don't limit his ability to do his job. And that's the way he approaches it, and we as assistants approach it the exact same way. We just keep moving forward.
Minnesota Golden Gopher offensive coordinator Matt Limegrover joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You got some boys that you need to get healthy. The offensive line pretty banged up, especially at the center position. Could you address that coming into this week's game?
Sure. You know, I was just talking to somebody about how, you know, you have a fan base that's very knowledgeable in football, without a doubt. The one position that you just strive for continuity and having a group of guys that feel like they're on the same page more than anything else, any other position on the team, is the offensive line. And we just have not been able to keep a group of guys healthy long enough. It's been ankles and this and that and a shoulder and what have you. And so I think probably Saturday we'll start our sixth or seventh different starting lineup in the offensive line. And, you know, that's driving me crazy because they're also real young. So it's kind of a bad combination of young pups out there, and they're kind of looking around and saying, okay, who's going to be beside me this week? So we're fighting through it, and the kids have had a great attitude about it. But you definitely don't like going into, to any game, let alone a big game at the end of the year against a team like Nebraska in their house and have a bunch of pups in the offensive line. So I seem to get grayer and heavier by the day. So we got a lot of work to do. But like I said, the kids' attitudes have been good. We just got to get a few more healthy.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda with you here on ESPN Radio, talking to offensive coordinator of the Gophers, Matt Limegrover. That can't be reassuring for your true freshman quarterback who's the third man to take snaps this year. How is that affecting Philip Nelson?
Well, you know what? The great thing about Philip is that he's unflappable. He is definitely mature beyond his years, and I think it helps too that he lives with three of the starting offensive linemen. He got here back in January, and he did a very smart thing. He got friendly with those guys, so you know they're going to have his back, and I think he knows that we're not going to put him in harm's way. We're not going to do things that'll get him in trouble, both physically or, you know, decision making wise. So I think he feels comfortable with what we are doing, and you know, regardless of who you have up there, there are some things that you can be successful at and protect him and give him a chance to do what he needs to do. And we've really been focusing on those things this week.
Everybody, the dynamic man, Marquise Gray, who's done about everything for you guys, how will he match up against Nebraska's secondary?
You know what? It'll be an interesting matchup. I have a ton of respect for the secondary in Nebraska. I think that if we can find some way to get him on the corners, I think you're looking at a mismatch. But with those two safeties, PJ Smith is a big dude now, and Stafford isn't too much smaller than him. That's a good matchup on Nebraska's end as far as being able to physically match up with them. So we're going to try and move Marquise around, try and get him on the corners a little bit so he can use his big body and give Philip a good target, and at times even just a good outlet if his primary target isn't available.
Nebraska has had, at times, at least one guy that I guess an offensive coordinator would say, that's the one we're going to pick on. That's the guy we want to go deep on. And we've seen it a few times, and I think Nebraska's getting a little bit better, and those two guys that they've kind of rotated in are getting better. Do you put a Marquise Gray on that guy, or is it going to be A.J. Barker, or who is the guy that you want to get isolated as a wideout?
Well, unfortunately, A.J.'s probably not going to play. His ankle's still bothering him.
Okay.
And so that's a concern because he's that kind of guy that he goes out there and you don't expect much from him, and before long, he's found a seam. He kind of has that, I'm not making a direct comparison, but kind of that Wes Welker feel to him as far as having a knack for getting open and doing the right things at the right time. But, we lose that. So, Marquise is obviously a guy that you look to for some of that stuff. And then we've kind of got a cast of thousands that we're going to roll out there in certain situations to try and take advantage of what they do best. We have about five or six receivers that will play. And, I'll be honest with you, Doug, I don't know if any of the other coaches you've spoken to this year have told you there's a weak link, but we're a day away from the game, and we're still trying to figure out who that is. So it's a pretty good group, and they've gotten better each week, and that's what concerns you as an offensive coach looking at this group of defenders.
I know an offensive coach can always get helped out by special teams and kick returners, and I don't think we've brought up Troy Stoudemire's name enough this year. Not only does he do it defensively, but he can set you guys up in good field position with returns. Can you tell us a little bit about how his year has progressed?
Oh, well, he's a guy that as our team has gone and as we've gotten better as a team with playing a lot of young kids, him as a kick returner has you've definitely seen him kind of get back into form. With him not being able to play last year with the injuries, he was a little rusty, and you just can't simulate that in a practice or a spring ball. So him getting out there, seeing live bullets coming down the field again, it took him a little while to get going, but we kind of get on the edge of our seats when the ball's kicked to him, you know, this latter part of the season, because we feel like he's that, you know, that shoelace or toenail away, fingernail, whatever you want to say, away from breaking some big runs. And believe me, I would love to, I'd love to have a kickoff return for a touchdown, a block punt for a touchdown, and interception for a touchdown, and win 24-21. That made me very happy as an offensive coach. But he's a kid that he can provide that spark for you and do those things. So we're hoping he has a couple opportunities to do that in the game.
Well, we'll let you get out of here with this one. Matt Limegrover, offensive coordinator for Minnesota, gracious with his time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. All indications would be that you may have the most success running the ball because you've got a couple of good running backs. Nebraska's 1-2 in the pass efficiency and passing stats defensively, but teams have been able to run the ball, maybe not score the ball as much outside of that Ohio State game, but they've been able to run the ball. Okay, so if everybody knows that, how do you establish the run early in the game?
Well, I think that you can't be afraid to throw the football. You just got to make sure that you're smart with how you go about it. And you know, some of the best teams that have had success against Nebraska have done a nice job of setting each other up, setting up the run by throwing the ball some early, and vice versa. You know, and I think that's the thing, is balance. We're not going to be able to come in and be in three tight ends and you know, in a tailback and wide receiver and just jam power down the Cornhuskers' throats. But there is a place for it within the bigger part of the game plan, and that's what you have to do. And then you try and get them to where they're thinking in one regard and keep them off balance. You know, I think this is a classic game of, you know, throw when they think you're going to run when they think you're going to throw, and try and level that playing field a little bit.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll let you get back to work and have a safe flight into Lincoln. We'll see you on the field tomorrow.
You got it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You bet, Coach. Matt Limegrover joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got our Minnesota-Nebraska prediction coming up, and all of the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at BK, home of the Whopper, Cardi's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Stop by for lunch today. Their drive-thru is open all weekend long to get you up and going and keep you going. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Man, how is Minnesota going to do it with all those kids banged up? We'll find out. We'll get our little prediction here. But up next, Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with Pigskin Pick'em. We need to find somebody to go up against us for Pigskin Pick'em. 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. We're going to ask a trivia question. If you're the first one to get it right, you'll go up against us picking some college football games. You'll win a large combo meal from Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings, also top of the hill in Kearney. Yum, yum, yum. And you'll be registered for the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance, and the Super Bowl party from Cunningham's Journal. And if you beat us, you win the gift card, $20 gift card to Cunningham's, because you guys couldn't hold the fort last week, Jimmy. What the heck?
I'm sorry. What was it? 7-6-6, I think, out of 10 games?
It was a non-winner.
Well, you know, I had Missouri, and you know, they win in four overtimes. I had a couple things. Of course, Virginia wins 41-40. It's not like you have just great games here. You know what I mean? You pick games that are, you know, everyone's a 50-50 shot here. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, man. All right, here is our trivia question for today. Jeff wanted to go baseball, so we're going to go baseball. That's fine. You want to ask the question, Jeff?
Sure, why not?
Okay, ask the question.
Buster Posey, 25 years, 190 days, is the youngest NL MVP winner since. Which player?
Should we give him any kind of a clue?
Well, I got the year here. Do we want to do that?
Yeah, give the year.
1984.
Okay. Who won the 1984 National League MVP? They were young at that time. Who won the National League MVP in 1984? Buster Posey, the youngest person to win the MVP since this person won it in 1984. I think a lot of folks are going to know that one. So let's see who goes up with us and pick him when we come back.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Listen, your 5% cashback program is to die for. What's the new category?
You will love it. Right now, you can get 5% cashback everywhere you shop online through December. Only from Discover.
Shut the door. 5% cashback? I shop online all the time.
No joke. Everywhere online.
Best category ever.
Only Discover gives you 5% cashback everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cashback on up to $1,500 in purchases online and at department stores.
Get in the zone.
Regular oil changes help save your engine from wear. And doing the job yourself helps you save money, too. Come into AutoZone today for everything you need to get the job done. Now you can get a 5-plus quart oil change jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter, all for only $21.99. See store for restrictions and details. Trust the experts at AutoZone to help you get the most for your car and your dollar every time. Parts are just part of what we do. Get in the zone.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
In traffic, 35-30, 25-20, back to the middle of the field, a 59-yard touchdown pass, right on the money.
12 teams.
Under center, drops back to throw.
Six divisions.
There's a wise thing.
Want every state high school football championship game live from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And click on ESPNSuperStation.com for all of the Platte River Radio Station broadcasts of the playoffs up until that time.
That's it. He busted off one man at the 15, down to the 10.
ESPNSuperStation.com.
50-yard touchdown run.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures top off at 57 for a high. Winds out of the southeast will be developing at 5 to 15 with some higher gusts in the afternoon. We'll then drop off to 34 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Every Friday at this time, it's Pigskin Pick'em. And Kelly from Kearney knew that the correct answer was Ryan Sandberg of the Cubs. He was the youngest National League MVP, Buster Posey the youngest since Ryan Sandberg, to bring that home. And Kelly is up for us in Pigskin Pick'em. He's picked up the large combo meal from Big Daddy's Deli, and now he's going for even more. Kelly, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get after it. We start with the hot one. Carl Pelini, Florida Atlantic and Florida International. The battle of Florida Atlantic and Florida International. Who you got, Kelly?
Atlantic.
I took Carl.
I'll take International.
Okay. Kent State at Bowling Green to see who's still alive for the MAC championship in their division. I'm going to take the Golden Flashes of Kent State. Jimmy?
I'll take Bowling Green.
Kelly, who you got?
Bowling Green.
Wyoming at UNLV. Oh, my God, they're bad. What do you think, Jimmy?
Oh, UNLV at home, easy. Oh. Going away.
Really? You don't want that to happen, right?
No, I think I'm okay now.
UNLV lost last week?
Yeah, they lost last week, so I've already got it won.
Okay, well, then I'm going to keep it because they are terrible. I always take Wyoming, so I'm taking Wyoming. Kelly, who you like?
UNLV.
Arkansas at Mississippi State. Can Arkansas finally win another football game? What do you think, Kelly?
Nope, Mississippi State.
Jimmy?
I'll take Mississippi State.
I'll make it a clean sweep. Arizona at Utah. Something's going on there. Nobody's really sure what it is. They're on the board. They're off the board. The spread's like 1 point. Arizona at Utah. What do you think, Jimmy? You're the expert here.
I'm not that big of an expert, but I do know this. Utah does not lose at home very often, so I'm taking Utah.
Kelly, what do you think?
Arizona.
Well, we're going to give you a chance there because I am taking Utah as well at home. Syracuse at Missouri.
Here's the one that just seems a little weird to me, Jimmy. Syracuse playing another non-conference game. They have coming off that big, huge win against Louisville last week. The games they've lost have been to good football teams. Missouri doesn't think that they can lose this game. One of these next two is going to be my upset special. For some reason, I'm taking the Orange. I'm taking Syracuse. Who do you like?
Well, I like your thinking. I like Syracuse the way they play, but you know, and now they're on the road. Missouri wins in four overtimes. They know they got to be up too. I just think maybe the 5 points. I'm going to take Missouri, and maybe they'll hang on.
Kelly, what do you think?
Tigers.
All right, Oklahoma at West Virginia. A lot of people at the beginning of the year thought this might be for the whole ball of marbles, and then K-State says not so fast. Oklahoma at West Virginia. Who do you like, Kelly?
Oklahoma.
Jimmy?
I'm taking Oklahoma.
See, something again just gnawing at me says there's no reason West Virginia should win this game. And they're like a 10-point dog, right?
Yep.
I've been solid at picking those 10- and 11-point dog upsets. But I don't know. West Virginia, I think, covers, but can they possibly win? They can't stop anybody. Landry Jones throws all over them. Closer than the experts think. And if West Virginia wins and I didn't pick them, I'm going to hurt my other foot. Oklahoma, I'll take them. Northwestern at Michigan State. Jimmy. You want me to pick first?
I'll go first on this one. You know, I'm something with the home team. You know, I just playing at home. I'm taking Michigan State.
What do you think, Kelly?
Give me the Wildcats.
Yeah, Kelly likes Northwestern. See, I haven't got it circled. Northwestern at Michigan State. Michigan State, and they find a way to lose all these games. And they're at home. This is a huge game. Michigan State kind of needs this game to still get bowl eligible, don't they?
Yeah, 5-5.
And they
7-point favorites.
Michigan State. Tennessee at Vanderbilt. I guess I got to go first. Tennessee, what do you think, Jimmy?
I'm staying with the home team, Vanderbilt.
Kelly, what do you think?
Give me the Vols.
Seems to me I'm doing the best I can to lose my lead in this whole year-long thing here. USC at UCLA. Kelly, who you like?
Give me USC.
Jimmy?
You know, USC won that game 50-0 last year. 50-0. And had a lot of fun doing it. And celebrated all day long in the fourth quarter, right there on the field. UCLA is going to remember this. Upset special, UCLA.
Well, I can't believe all the hubbub over the sword and the USC mascot. That shouldn't be allowed anywhere. The USC mascot should never be allowed to plant his sword on a visiting game's midfield turf. The Florida State Seminole should never be able to spike. I mean, if you want to do it at home, that's great. That's what it's all about. It's to get your crowd fired up. I can't believe the brouhaha that's going on over the stabbing of the sword in the UCLA. I would have never let him do that, especially your biggest rivalry game. UCLA going to make the Huskers look even better. I'm agreeing with you, Jimmy. UCLA, Ohio State at Wisconsin. I don't know why Wisconsin's favored. I'm taking Ohio State. I know why Wisconsin's favored, because I just took Ohio State. Jimmy?
I'm going to go with the home team again. I'm taking Wisconsin. It'd be nice to see if maybe Wisconsin wins this game and Ohio State's not undefeated anymore.
Kelly, what do you think?
Give me State.
All right. Just in case we need a tiebreaker, Jimmy and I have ours wrote down, and I'll tell you right now, they're very close to each other. Total points in the Nebraska-Minnesota game. What's your guess?
64.
Ooh, way over ours. 64. Well, way over. He's over ours. Anything that's pretty high, Kelly's going to win the tiebreaker. Kelly, I have 51. I'm predicting Nebraska 38, Minnesota 13. I'm staying with the 13 theme. They've lost. They've had 13 in all four losses. Let's make it 5 here. Jimmy, your total?
Well, I'm going to go with 55, and with a quick math, you know what I mean? And I don't know if I can do that problem, but I've just got 55 total points.
All right, Kelly, best of luck. Thanks for calling in today.
You bet. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We've come to another end of a Doug and Daddy show. I hope you're right, Jimmy, because I'm going to tell you what. We picked 11 games this week. I'm going 10-1, or I'm below 500.
You go 10-1, I'll take you any place you want to go to eat. And let me make you go 10-1. You write that down. We're going any place you want to out for supper, dinner, breakfast, whatever you would need.
Folks, this just came across from the University of Nebraska. I haven't even read it yet. It just has the headline about what they're doing Saturday. We talked about it. With the impending end of an outstanding career as coach and administrator, several events have been planned as a tribute to Tom Osborne, who will retire as athletic director. His five-year stint follows a stellar career as the coach. Saturday's game official kickoff is at 2:42. Tom Osborne, the 500th football game that he's been involved with in some capacity at Nebraska. Fans in attendance will have an opportunity to pay tribute to Osborne during pregame and halftime festivities. Fans are encouraged to be in their seats a half hour prior to the game in order to enjoy all the activities, including Senior Day introductions, which will be at 2:15, a special Cornhusker marching band performance before the tunnel walk. Fans in attendance will have an opportunity to salute the Osborne family at halftime and to view a special video tribute to Tom Osborne. A fundraiser with proceeds going towards the East Memorial Stadium Research Center and Teammates Program will take place in Omaha sometime after the first of the year. Current and former athletic staff, coaches, and student athletes will gather in Lincoln for an invitation-only tribute to Tom Osborne the night before the spring game in April. The spring game up a week this year, by the way, folks. It's April 6th. April 6th, if you didn't know that, mark that on your calendar for a spring game. And finally, fans seeking an opportunity to write a thank you note to Osborne or to tell a favorite Osborne story can do so through a special website, thankstomosborne.com. All together, thankstomosborne.com. Fans can participate by using the hashtag ThanksTO on their tweets or by going to Facebook and a whole lot more. So check it out. Huskers.com will have all the information that I just read to you as well. Be kind of cool.
Yes, it will.
I get into that stuff.
Oh, yeah, Tom Osborne. Think about this. You know, nationally, you know, what coach, you know, did this and then became the AD and went on and, you know, hey, ran for office? You know what I mean? So, yeah, what a great tribute. Yep.
Don't forget, volleyball tonight at UNK. Good luck to the Lopers and welcome to Central Missouri, Washburn, and Emporia to town. To your fans and your teams, best of luck this weekend as well. Nebraska women's basketball team is at home tonight. If you're a psycho Husker fan and you want to check out both, they play tonight against Northern Arizona at 7:05. And the UNK Wrestling Open, the Holiday Inn Open at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, starts tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Stormer on the road the next two nights. You can hear those on on the Breeze 94.5 FM. One final note, and I know the music's going to run out here. The PGA Tour qualifying school, so you can get your card, is in its second stage. There's one more stage after this, but a couple of Nebraskans, John Hurley and Scott Gucheski, are looking real well. In fact, Gucheski is playing in McKinney, Texas. They're playing their final round today. The top 20 advance on. He's in second going into the final round at 16 under. John Hurley also in second in Humble, Texas. He's 13 under, setting in second place, trying to get in. Brady Schnell, 5-under, is right on the cut line entering today. Not so good for Brandon Crick and Judd Cornell and Steve Friesen, who are still battling to get onto that final stage of Q School. I want to thank Matt Limegrover, offensive coordinator at the University of Minnesota, for joining us today. And, Jimmy, I'll see you multiple times, but on the show, 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks, Thanksgiving break, and then we'll be at, it'll be 3 weeks. We'll be in Indianapolis. You can go to Indy. You want to go?
Yeah, I'm in. I'll go. Okay. I'm ready to go. Hey, I'll tell you what. I looked at your selections. If you go 8-3, I'm going to buy you lunch.
Monday and Tuesday, it's the state football playoffs right here on ESPN Radio. So in our time slot, D2 on Monday, C2 on Tuesday. Keep it here for all of the great high school, college, and NFL action throughout the rest of the weekend. For Jim Lang and I'm Doug Duda. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you Monday from state football and Wednesday, our Husker lunch at Cunningham's.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!